Hi, it's Tyler from 94.7 WLS Chicago. You're listening to Adam Lepp on WGH Talk Radio.
Adam Lepp!
WGH, the talking place. Doesn't really rhyme, but that's perfectly fine. Adam is here, always ready to entertain you fine folks, and today's program of broadcasting bonanzahood and fantastic fabulousness will certainly not disappoint. I think I'll borrow from the last guest I had, the very famous DC King, the famous foodie of Mid-Ohio and points beyond, and I will make a hearty welcome to all my fellow weirdos and foodies. That should probably take care of most of my listenership. On the line with me today are two fine gentlemen from different parts of the country. We have the Midwest covered, the Pacific, Northwest, and the Southeast, part of the great United States of America on today's program, as we shall discuss a favorite topic of all of us. So again, get your coffee, tea, beer, or whatever else you prefer to drink, and cancel all other activities for the next 43 minutes. This will be radio very much worth listening to. On the line with me, without further ado, is Calvin Williams from somewhere in the Washington, D.C., not D.C., I mean Washington State, Oregon, Idaho border, somewhere in that neck of the woods. Also on the line with me as we go to the southeast, where there are alligators and rarely any snowstorms or especially cold weather, Mr. Michael or Mike Essen from the great state of Florida, discussing topics to be revealed very shortly. Let's first make sure that the intern has properly duct taped the equipment and set the dials and knobs to the proper setting. Let's see here. On the line with me, Calvin and Mike, can you check in for me and verify that everything is working from a technical standpoint?
Everything is working. Yep, everything is working.
Remind me, Calvin, you live in the state of Washington, right? But really close to the border, or did I get that messed up? Did I have a couple of potatoes from Idaho get thrown at my brain? Or is that actually correct that you are actually in Washington currently?
I am in Washington currently. I'm in Colfax, which when you're driving from Lewiston, Idaho, Colfax is pretty much the halfway point between Lewiston, Idaho, and Spokane, Washington.
Oh.
It's a little small town with a population of 2,800.
Oh. Sounds like an exciting place with a great nightlife.
Believe it or not, there's actually quite a few local venues here. Tons of little local-owned shops up and down Main Street. It's actually pretty nice, all things considered.
Sounds like a fine place. I kind of wonder, too, you know, people don't really fax anymore. That's kind of from, 20, 30 years ago. They send email. So are they going to change their name from Cole Fax to Cole Email by chance? Or is that not really on the agenda for the village?
It's funny you say that. I actually made a similar joke at work last week.
Oh, well, great minds think alike, even if the great minds are almost 40 years apart in age, but we won't discuss that. But speaking about different generations, that pretty much gets into our program topic for today. We've talked about sports, movies, and, of course, politics. But today we're going to talk about a topic that I think touches all of us, and that would be music. And you might kind of be intrigued by the fact that Mike and I are not too far in age. I'm the elder of the two. I'm not going to mention my own age, but spring chicken certainly has not described me for many, many years. But, you know, I don't get older. I get better. And I certainly get better looking in time. And we have Calvin, who was actually born, I believe, right around the 9/11 event.
About a week and a half afterwards, September 20th.
Making him a very young man. Plus, he's kind of on the cusp on the Zodiac, too. And Mike, again, similar in age to myself. Let's put him in the middle-aged but still fabulous category. So what's intriguing is that despite the different generations, we all have fairly simple tastes and critique levels of music. I think we all kind of agree that the music of, I would say, even a couple generations ago is superior to a lot of what the a lot of what you hear nowadays. In fact, I would call most of what you hear nowadays crapola, and that's probably being generous. Not that I don't think Lady Gaga and Rob Thomas and some of the other recent or current musicians are talented. I mean, I think Lady Gaga is very, very talented, and she has a reputation of being a good person who appreciates her fans and does things to give back to the community, and she's just an intriguing character in general. But I think in the 70s and 80s, we had a proliferation of talented musicians, bands, females, males, from different areas. Certainly, the United Kingdom will always be the nation that, and set of nations that was essentially the foundation of rock and roll and other genres, jazz, country certainly being types of music that have origins here in the United States. So it's good to see the diversity of geography with these musicians from different generations, but I don't think we'll ever lose the influence of the earliest rock and rollers from the United States and the UK. Obviously, the Beatles and Elvis always come to mind. And what I liked about the 70s and the 80s to an extent was that we could often mix genres. You could think of a certain musical act and say, well, they are billed as rock and roll, but they're heavily influenced by country. They have a jazzy feel to them, like early music from Chicago and Blood, Sweat, and Tears, for example. But they can also stay with the times and change their musical style as people's interests evolve. The Bee Gees being probably the best example of that, starting out as kind of soft rockers, light pop with songs like Massachusetts and How Can You Mend a Broken Heart. I didn't think I could say that without stumbling, and sure enough, I was right. Then they kind of merged into disco and upbeat pop, and you know, Barry Gibb is still around, even though his brothers have left the earth. But certainly a man of many many talents as a singer, songwriter, and much more. So before I continue any more babbling, let me ask Mike again first, because you are again closest to myself in age. What are your musical interests, and what is your basic critique of some of the current music? I mean, do you agree with what I just said, or am I being too hard on a lot of the current musicians? And let me know some of your perspectives on that.
Absolutely, it's a pleasure being on the program again, guys. I can't stand today's music for a couple of reasons, and I'm going to go back to the past in 1 second. Either it's computerized and ugly sounding, or it's hip hop or rap. I can't stand that. I'm not a fan of Lady Gaga, nothing against her personally, it's just not my kind of music. But the music from the past I listen to every day. I go from 30s to 80s, which is our top. I go back from Big Band, from Glenn Miller and Harry James and Kate Kaiser and Guy Lombardo, to the 80s with Hall & Oates and Rick Springfield and the Moody Blues and Brian Adams and many others. But I want to say something you said about the 70s, which is very pertinent, Adam. It was the best decade ever for music. Just there's so many genres, from disco to Bee Gees and the most underrated band ever, Chic, and to Karen Carpenter and the Voice of an Angel, and even Barry Manilow and Barbara Streisand, and even the classic rock, like my favorite, the Moody Blues and Pink Floyd and The Who, and even great bands like you mentioned, Chicago and Ambrosia, and even the music soundtrack, Saturday Night Fever and Grease or Die For. You listen to those every day and not get tired of it.
Yeah, it's, I guess, a little fascinating, Mike. We are in foreign age, but your musical interests stretch a little from before the rock era to pretty much saying anything after, I'm thinking, maybe when Calvin was born, is virtually unlistenable. Even though you would acknowledge that some of these musicians, I mean, Gaga, Rob Thomas, some of these, and people from even Rick Springfield, he hosts a show on the 80s channel on Sirius. He's still around. So even some of these musicians from a couple generations ago certainly still have an influence. But your personal preference is really stuff that's older, including stuff that's older than yourself. And that is
correct.
Yeah, that is cool. Honestly, I'm certainly familiar with Glenn Miller and certainly think he had a great influence, but not a big band guy or pre-rock era, but some of it is good to listen to. And you certainly do hear the influences. And I think you brought up the Moody Blues, Mike, so I think you would agree with this. The handful of bands that are able to combine classical type music with rock, it might seem easy, but you know, try to do it in the studio, it's complicated. The Moody Blues, certainly influenced by classical music, Procol Harum, obviously, and probably the biggest one, the Electric Light Orchestra. They made no secret. They had an orchestra with a conductor, and they combined that with rock, but they kind of went little disco with Don't Bring Me Down, which was a huge hit from, I believe, the late 70s. So they, like the Bee Gees, kind of went with the time also. And again, the bands like Chicago, Blood, Sweat, and Tears that were able to combine elements of jazz, of horns, with mainstream rock music, something else that many people such as ourselves would find appealing. The harder rock music, Mike, and I love Aerosmith. I think they took a tremendous turn downward once they redid Walk This Way and turned it kind of into a rap/hard rock song. But in the 70s, they were certainly my favorite band. You know, Led Zeppelin, pretty much the de facto standard for your guitar, bass, and screeching vocals, hard rock music, but many of their songs are mellow. They just were such good musicians; they could do a lot of different things. And it's good also that Aerosmith, being from the Boston area, Led Zeppelin, of course, being British. I'm pretty sure the Moody Blues are also of the British variety. So obviously, that kind of music had a lot of foundation in Europe, especially in England and other parts of the British Isles, but many great American bands also, and in Aerosmith, they're still around. So some of these rockers just keep on rocking. In terms of the harder rock music, Mike, do you have a particular band that you like, or do you like the softer stuff? That's kind of your viewpoint on that.
Led Zeppelin is good. I think Pink Floyd has some hard rock, but not tremendously. I'm not an AC/DC fan. I don't like metal. It's just a lot of it's just screaming, like Quiet Riot's Come on, Feel the Noise. That's
yeah, I mean, they kind of an arena rock sound, like Journey, but
Journey, I like though.
Yeah, they added to the loudness, and it tried to combine that with more of that heavy metal type type sound. Yeah, I mean, Steve Perry, you talk about a voice. Certainly one of the most amazing voices ever. Freddie Mercury also certainly in that category.
Lights are absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and sometimes it's the case of me when I try to pull off at karaoke, and although I can do Stairway to Heaven, I'm certainly no Robert Plant. I'll say that much. I just put a little bit of Adam into it. But I admire people that can sing songs like Faithfully, which is a big karaoke song. That's not an easy one to do. Steve Perry has an incredible voice, the range and his ability to hold a tune, and just the quality of his voice. And again, we think of the late great Freddie Mercury, and in some of the same vein. Plus, Queen had some incredible songwriting, and Brian May, who's still around, great guitar player. So many great things about these bands, some of which are still around, or sometimes in a slightly different incarnation. Calvin, have you pipe in a little bit again with your birth date being, as we mentioned, the early 2000s. Bands like Led Zeppelin were well established well before you were born, in fact, probably before your parents were born. What do you think about some of these old school hard rock bands? Do you still listen? Do you like Stairway to Heaven? And do you like the music from the 70s from Queen? What are some of your perspectives on that?
So I guess I'll say first and foremost, for being 24 years old, my music taste is very diverse compared to other people my age. As somebody who, across every vehicle I've ever owned, the stereo that I've had installed is almost always worth more than the vehicle itself. I like pretty much anything that is bass heavy. I'll listen to just about anything with the exception of most religious music, if I'm being perfectly honest, but definitely more 80s focused. And I will say my favorite 80s song of all time has to be Self-Control by Laura Branigan.
Yeah, Laura Branigan, the power of her voice, Calvin. I even heard that when she was recording, she was told that her voice was actually too powerful, that she toned it down a little bit. It was just so powerful. It was off the charts, and she left us so at such a young age. Very sad. But, yeah, the incredible talent of that woman. And just when you hear it, I mean, I wish I had half the vocal ability she did, but that she was actually told her voice was almost too powerful. That should pretty much tell it. Yes, and I mean, like what you might say about Steve Perry or Freddie Mercury, the power of her voice and the uniqueness. I don't see how anybody could possibly not like her. What comes out of her at the studio. So definitely great singer and a great example.
And I guess, Mike, one thing that you and I won't be able to see eye to eye on, I'm actually a pretty big fan of Quiet Riot and Come On, Feel the Noise. You're the majority.
Yeah, the arena rock, it definitely has a good place, but some of the music is kind of simplistic. And people that play guitar will say, well, it's just a couple chords, it's easy to play, you just scream the vocals. But you look at a song by Queen or Aerosmith, Led Zeppelin, it takes some talent to reproduce what they do. But if it sells, that's fine. It's just like with anything in the entertainment business, it doesn't have to be critically acclaimed or even be any good to sell. There are many, many ingredients there, and there's an image. The Rolling Stones, too. I'm not discounting their talent at all, but their image was a large part of how they were able to sell records.
Well, definitely.
And so that
I'm a huge fan of Led Zeppelin, Prince, the Bee Gees. One CD that I have that I keep in constant rotation is actually the soundtrack CD to Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, I mean, talk about
my favorite compilations of all time.
Yeah, I mean, of the rock era guys, that's the biggest soundtrack ever. And as I mentioned earlier, it shows that the Bee Gees were able to morph from songs like, let's try to say this without stumbling, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart, Massachusetts, in that mining disaster song, I forget the exact title, but multiple tunes that had that soft rock emotional vibe to it, and they still had the falsetto mix with the more mainstream sounding male voices and the great songwriting and other talents of Barry Gibb and, of course, his twin brothers. But they morphed into the disco sound with Saturday Night Fever, something else that's kind of hard to say. And again, Barry Gibb still around, and they showed how they can move with the times. And they had songs that were different from their stuff of the 70s, but more modern sounding. Fanny, Be Tender With My Love is a favorite of mine. Tragedy. So, and the other musicians who contributed on Saturday Night Fever, If I Can't Have You by Yvonne Elliman. Great song with that, you know, disco, upbeat pop vibe. Yep, More Than a Woman by Tavares. So that album certainly, and the movie, and again, John Travolta showing his great talent, still around. Still acting and making public appearances, and we all saw his talent in the great sitcom Welcome Back, Kotter. Obviously, John Travolta. Yeah, obviously his talent was evident. Then you may have remembered, Mike. He put out a single called Let Her In. I think he had a single actually before that. Yeah, and when I was listening to Casey Kasem at the time, which I used to do very religiously. Casey said, well, it's John Travolta from Welcome Back, Kotter. I didn't realize he was also a singer, and I found that to be a very good song. In fact, I think I have the single because I liked it so much. My mom was an especially big fan of the show. But once I heard him sing, and you obviously see him on TV, the guy's an amazing talent. Still around, can do almost any kind of a movie under the sun. So that often will show exactly what the many things that these people can do. Again, I had mentioned with Barry Gibb, considered one of the best modern songwriters ever. I don't necessarily like all of their songs, but I do recognize his talent and his versatility. So whether I personally find someone to be a favorite isn't overly relevant. It has to do with the diversity of their talent and their appeal and is what they've contributed to pop culture. And the aforementioned people, and the Barry Gibb along with his brothers, the twins, and John Travolta, They've contributed immense pieces to modern past and future society and pop culture. And you gotta love that. So, terms of Led Zeppelin, Calvin, do you still think that their influence is around, regardless of if a modern musician has music of the same genre? Robert Plant, certainly great range. I mean, like Freddie Mercury, someone who really could belt out almost any kind of a tune. And those who have Led Zeppelin albums realize that many of the songs, Going to California maybe being a good example, are actually quite mellow. Not all their stuff really is that loud. And Stairway to Heaven is such a unique song in that it starts out kind of mellow, almost classical sounding. Then it gets to be loud at the end. And so when musicians can do that, where a song evolves from different musical styles from beginning to end, obviously shows some creativity. But what are some of the things, Calvin, that you like about Led Zeppelin and some of the musicians of that ilk?
So kind of like you just said yourself, I like how some of the songs start out very mellow and it kind of gets heavier as it goes on. But as for present day influence, Adam and Mike, I think both of you would agree with what I'm about to say. I don't know if I would so much say that there's an influence, only because so much music that's coming out today just borrows and samples from the original that came out years prior. I could listen to the radio today and a song would come on and I'm like, ooh, I really like this. And then suddenly I realize, like, wait, this is sampled or this is a cover. There's honestly, in my opinion, there's no originality to music anymore.
I would say with the AI and the auto-tune and all that computer stuff, you know, Calvin, as technology gurus, we love that people can do this stuff, but it really takes away the mystique, the charisma, whatever word you want to use, the ability to have talent. Yeah, I love going to karaoke, knowing that I have a talking voice, not a singing voice, and the equipment can make me sound a little bit better. But I like people who could just belt out a tune like they were waking up in the morning. I mean, something that I think Laura Branigan could do, Karen Carpenter, certainly. And again, the aforementioned Robert Plant or Barry Gibb, Barry Manilow. Many of these people and also people like Barry Manilow, that great, great piano player. So we have people that they're great guitar or piano or some other instrument player. Phil Collins comes to mind as, you know, probably my favorite drummer of all time and not a bad singer either. And somebody with whose talent evolved.
I love Phil Collins.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah, someone with this amazing talent. And just that he's a drummer too. And sometimes you think of a singer as also playing a guitar, but there are many drummers that know how to belt out a tune, so we could talk forever about some of these people, but I think there are musicians that we all tend to agree upon are great from a versatility standpoint. Peter Cetera also is a bass player and a singer, and some of these people are still around, still having an influence of some kind, and I can imagine they probably agree with us in some regards that they're musical colleagues aren't producing the quality that they did when there was the 70s and the 80s.
Well, so I'd actually like to hear both of your guys' opinions on this. I saw an ad on Facebook the other day. It was for one of the major AIs that's out now. I forget which one specifically, but the ad pretty much said, instead of paying to study music theory, generate your music using our AI. And something about that just did not sit right with me.
Yeah,
like they're not even trying to hide it anymore.
No, and I brought up this to Scott once. I think I told you, but a few months ago, maybe it was a year ago. Time flies when you get old, you know. But whenever it was fairly recently, the top downloaded country song was a AI-generated song. I think I showed that to you, Calvin, that it was actually AI. There was no real musicians, no real pianos or guitars or saxophones or banjos or human beings in front of a microphone. It was 100% computer generated, but it was a good song. It was country, and it just sounded like a real band, and that's what they can do nowadays. Now, I admire that, but I like to think that somebody is actually producing it through human talent. Someone's actually sitting there playing a guitar, banjo, saxophone, drums, etc., and singing in front of a microphone without a lot of the technology intervening. So it's a two-edged sword for sure.
If I may, Adam. There's a group that was amazing at doing two different kinds of things, and even country songs were good back. There were some great country singers, that, like Kiss. You remember the group Kiss?
Yeah. And you know, Kiss is fascinating, Mike. And they're like some of these other bands where their best song is almost easy listening, Beth. And it's not a song that kind of gets loud at the end. It's mellow the whole way through. Yeah, and I think that's probably their best song. And I mean, which is intriguing, because I never thought they were overly good musicians, that they kind of like Quiet Riot. Yeah, they had a great image. They had the makeup, and they had this pop culture nature to them. And you know, they recently lost one of the members, but Gene Simmons is around and very visible and quite a character, which we like. We like these guys to have personalities. But they put out this mellow song, Beth, and it's one of the songs that they're most remembered with, and I would say it's my favorite Kiss song. So at least that did show some talent, which might have been part of the idea, to show people like myself that they weren't just people wearing costumes and makeup and screaming. They actually had the ability to put out a tune, even and especially one that you could play on an adult contemporary type of station. So yeah, we like to. Yeah, I've always been a big fan, and he's somebody, Mike, that I like to belt out at karaoke regularly.
That would be great. Because he co-hosts with CD.
Yeah, Daytime Friends and Nighttime Lovers. Yeah, The Coward of the County, of course, The Gambler. And some of his lesser-known songs 20 years ago, we played that at the radio station I worked at when that song came out in the mid to late 80s. You know, Mike, Kenny Rogers started out as kind of a punk influence rocker. I just dropped by to see what condition my condition was in with his band, The First Edition. He kind of got a little country with Lucille, and then kind of broke off on his own, became kind of country pop, hooked up with Lionel Richie and did Lady, which was number one for several weeks.
Beautiful song.
Yeah, and I mean, we lost him several years ago. I was very saddened. I think he did a lot for music. He also did evolve quite a bit, and he had a good image. I think for a while there was actually a website that showed men who looked like Kenny Rogers. He had a common look to him with the white beard and the hairstyle, and a lot of men would actually look like Kenny Rogers or try to look like Kenny Rogers, kind of like people would try to look like Michael Jackson at the height of Michael Jackson's popularity with Thriller in Bed. And so that Kenny Rogers look was also something that you would also see. And if you happen to see someone around town looking like Kenny Rogers, you would always be kind of impressed. And they actually had a website about that, which was kind of cool. So yeah, the image that Kenny Rogers had, he was also a good guitar player. You kind of think of him as being a vocalist, but he had many talents and did a lot of great duets also with Dolly Parton, Sheena Easton, Dottie West, etc.
Sure, one of the things that makes these musical groups great and these singers is when you love their backup music. Let me give you an example. One of my favorite Bee Gees songs is Children of the World. One of my favorite songs from Firefall, another group that's great, is Sweet and Sour. And no one's heard of these songs.
Yeah, Mike. I have not heard of either of those two. And Firefall, they have that yacht rock sound, the soft rock, kind of like the Eagles. So I'd never heard that song before, but considering that I am a fan of their music, I probably would like it if I were to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Their most famous song probably is Goodbye, Just Remember I Love You, I would think would be their most famous.
I like Headed for a Fall myself, but Just Remember I Love You is probably their signature song. Yeah, Still the One by Orleans and Firefall and Poco, all kind of similar.
And I'm glad you mentioned Michael Jackson, Adam, because I love the Off the Wall album. I love his other album.
Yeah, I bought that album, and I like the title song Off the Wall. Yeah, good variety of music. I mean, there's no question. I mean, talk all you want about his image and the demons, I think, that haunted him later in life. But the incredible talent of that man, and he's starting out as a kid, essentially the lead singer of his family band, and his image, just incredible the mark that he made on music and some of these songs, and they're still played. I mean, Billie Jean is still a standard on radio stations of various formats, and those songs will never lose their appeal.
Not at all. And what amazes me about the 70s is they actually made a good rap song, believe it or not. Rapper's Delight and Sugar Hill Gang later made a patchy a really good song as well. I just think a rap song could be good, period. I hate rap music, but I love that.
Yeah, the earlier rap where it was kind of this talking mixed with pop music. I think of Rapture by Blondie. I think that's considered the first mainstream rap song that was a hit. And Thank God I'm a Country Boy, which really is rap. That's kind of a country rap song by John Denver. Somebody you probably wouldn't think of as doing something that was rap-influenced or rap-oriented. But yeah, earlier, and then the modern rap, yeah, I'm certainly not a fan. There is a difference. There's a way that you can rap and combine it with rap or country, like the aforementioned two songs. But the current stuff, I can't say I'm a fan. Now, I'm glad that these musicians have appeal, have sold records, but not really my cup of tea. And I think Rapture was especially quite a work of art, a unique kind of a song, and it was a big hit. And again, Thank God I'm a Country Boy. One of my favorite karaoke songs also. So again, John Denver also leaving the earth much too soon, but somebody whose talent was greatly respected as an instrumentalist, songwriter, and of course singer. He had a good wholesome image too, and I think it's good when these musicians have a good image. They're a good role model, and that's just part of their appeal.
Mm-hmm. Also, two groups that did not get the attention they deserve. I mentioned one earlier. I love both of them tremendously. Are Chic and Supertramp. These groups have been major hits, majorly popular, and Chic is a great disco band. Supertramp never made a song I didn't like. They were wonderful. Do you like them?
Yeah. I like their combination of the falsetto male voice with the deeper voice, Roger Hodgson, you know, being one of their main musicians, if I'm not mistaken. They were pretty big in my college radio station, and yeah, I do admire their talent. They had interesting album covers too. One called Indelibly Stamped, which I believe was kind of almost an X-rated album cover. So if you want to see what I mean, look it up online, because it really isn't suitable to describe in a family program. The Breakfast in America album with the waitress. I think now that waitress, they've actually shown her in modern times that she's still around. And she was quite famous as having that picture with holding the tray, like working in a old-fashioned diner type of a place. But yeah, good quality music. Great mixture of male vocals. You can like with the Bee Gees, and when you mix and Earth, Wind and Fire, when you mix up the deeper, more mainstream sounding male voice with the falsetto, with the background singing and some clever instrumentation, you get some good music. And Supertramp, the Bee Gees, Earth, Wind and Fire, three bands that can do that quite well. And I do miss that kind of music, Mike. You don't hear a lot of that nowadays, but it was certainly commonplace in the 70s and 80s. Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH1071.com, with Calvin Williams and Mike Essen discussing music, especially music from the 70s and 80s, our favorite, our less than favorite performers. And we really do miss the sounds of a couple generations ago. Question for both of you gentlemen. Back in the 80s when I was doing radio, certainly, I was constantly involved and immersed in the intrigue of the music business and how it interacted with pop culture. We had many musicians who were actors who tried their hands at singing. Also, we had people that have had a background in singing and acting, Rick Springfield, Jack Wagner, even John Travolta being examples. But we had two songs that I think were almost infamous from people that were certainly known more as actors, well-respected actors, who tried their hands at singing, and that would be Party All the Time by Eddie Murphy and Heartbeat by Don Johnson. Both of those songs were controversial. I personally like both of those songs, especially Heartbeat. I thought Don Johnson was a very good, underrated singer. And again, the Eddie Murphy song, kind of overproduced. I think it was almost the idea being you have a good producer and a good writer, almost anybody can sound good. But Eddie Murphy showed a falsetto. He's not a bad singer at all. And, you know, he took it in stride, the good and the bad comments. Let me go first, Mike. I presume you're familiar with both of those songs. Do you have an opinion on them? Do you think sometimes the actors tried to go a little too far by being a singer also? Or do you respect that someone like Don Johnson tried his hand at putting out a record and allowed the critics to say what they want?
I respect it. Don Johnson's song was enjoyable. Eddie Murphy's song was just pure fun. You just sit there and feel good, and just—it's like the Terminator was moved of music. You sit there mindless and just enjoy it. But I want to mention something about, you mentioned that singers who tried to try acting. There were also the skeletons of the closet. Neil Diamond was in a horrible film called The Jazz Singer. He's not in the '70s. He may have been '70s and '80s, but he wasn't grown. Luciano Pavarotti was in a movie that got panned. I never saw it. Called Yes, Giorgio. And there's a funny line by one of the critics. I forget who it was. They're two of the best singers and two of the worst actors ever.
Yeah, it went the other way too, didn't it? And Neil Diamond, when he first came out, was more rock. Then he kind of went more to the adult contemporary. But yeah, versatile guy, still around, I believe. I had not seen The Jazz Singer, so I'll take your word for it. But you don't really know. I mean, we respect these people for trying their hand at a different form of entertainment. But it also lets you respect someone like Rick Springfield, who was a great actor and a great singer, a guitar player, etc. So people with versatility of talent, gotta love it. So you agree with me then? That you like the Don Johnson and Eddie Murphy song? Then I think the Don Johnson song actually was rather underrated. I heard that song because we had played it on my radio station. I thought this is a good tune. He's a good singer. I'm very impressed.
I'll mention another case that people may not know about. Janet Dubois, who was in Good Times.
She sang a theme song. Yes.
That's my favorite theme song. You cannot hear that song and feel good either.
Definitely a versatile performer. Yes, and a very good actress on that program. So, any opinions, Calvin? Are you familiar with the song Heartbeat by Don Johnson and Party All the Time by Eddie Murphy?
I'm not familiar with Heartbeat by Don Johnson, but Party All the Time by Eddie Murphy is actually one of my favorite songs of all time as well. It's on my driving to work playlist. Continuing on the topic of actors that went into singing, I guess it might be the other way around with this one, but Mark Wahlberg, Marky Mark.
Yes, Marky Mark. He's also in the car dealer business, as you probably know. He owns about half the car dealers in Columbus now. So there's somebody with many business interests. Yes, good vibrations. You know, and I hate to admit it, guys, but I do like that song. Again, I don't want to admit. I'll admit to liking Gaga because she's like similar to Madonna in some ways. And not all of her songs are the overproduced sound. She really can sing. I think she is, she has a good image also. So I don't mind admitting that I like Lady Gaga, but I don't really want to admit on in public, but I'll do it anyway. I do like the song Good Vibrations. I don't know why, but it's just catchy and kind of cute, so why not? But yeah, Marky Mark also, somebody with many different talents, and he knows where the money is. He's in the car dealer business now, which is sort of cool.
So would you say, in this instance, that Mark Wahlberg is in it because of a diverse range of talents, or do you think he's just in it for the money?
I think he's a smart businessman. I think he's, that's a lot of it. I mean, it's still business. You still got to pay the bills. He is talented. He had a good image, and he's evolved. He's evolved kind of from, you know, the teeny bopper type to the businessman, somebody who knows what he can do and what society wants. That's probably a large part of it.
If I may, let's tell you my favorite song from both decades, just to have a little fun with it. I don't know what you guys think of these songs.
Go right ahead. I'll be happy to give you my opinion. You know, that's it wouldn't be a day without with opinions. Sorry?
Bros is holding on to Yesterday.
Yeah, that actually, that is, yeah, that's like one of my, probably my favorite, I mean, of the mainstream Ambrosia songs, probably my favorite, one you never hear on the radio. And I do like that song. I don't know why they don't play it, why they keep playing You're the Only Woman, You're the Biggest Part of Me. Those are good songs, but Holding On to Yesterday is a great tune with great production, great vibe. I don't know why they don't play that song, but I like it. I agree with you very much.
Yes, in the 80s, it was a singer who was more popular in the 70s. Donna Summer's This Time I Know It's For Real, I think.
Yes, I like when she evolved from straight disco, such as, of course, Love to Love You Baby. Not that it wasn't a good song, but that she evolved a bit into more kind of R&B, soft rock. Also left the earth much too soon. Yeah, good talent. A bit underrated at times, because she did have great versatility. I agree with you, too. This Time I Know It for Real is a good song. She works hard for the money, a good tune. Yeah, definitely somebody who's had a big place in pop culture and evolution of music.
But there were also groups I didn't care for. I mentioned AC/DC. I'm not a fan of... I can't think of like Motley Crue, the heavy metal bands I just didn't care for, and...
Yeah, I'm not a big Motley Crue fan. You know, their remake of Smokin' in the Boys' Room wasn't very good. So, I mean, I admire their success, but I can't say I'm a big fan, no.
And, you know, the funny thing, I'm not switching gears here, but I never heard of True Life Crew until the controversy. I wish I never heard of them because I can't stand them. I just only grabbed some kind of music.
Again, a lot of the current stuff, I can use one hand to list musicians that I like. I mentioned Rob Thomas, Lady Gaga, I mean, Katy Perry, some of her songs. But my musical interests certainly waned greatly after the late 80s. So we're pretty much in accord on that one. So just a couple minutes left, as my mama always said, time flies when you are having fun. Any last thoughts for our audience there, Calvin, as the youngest member of our trio here?
Well, I guess I'll close this out with my own favorite songs from both decades. For the 70s, it has to be Dreams by Fleetwood Mac. Actually, the Rumors album that it was released on, there's not a single bad song on it. It's probably one of my favorite albums of all time. And then for the 80s, I still got to say Self Control by Laura Branigan.
Good choices. Not that I don't like Dreams, but Dream On by Aerosmith has certainly traditionally been one of my favorite songs. When Will I See You Again by the 3 Degrees, a favorite of mine. I'm Doing Fine Now by New York City, kind of a Philadelphia sound type song from the 70s, another favorite of mine. So I certainly have my songs, which are favorites, but the genres can vary. As I mentioned, I like the harder rock, I like the country-influenced pop, and I like the R&B. The Philadelphia sound, which I think was incredible and has been a foundation for a lot of current music and recent musical performances. Any final words for our audience there, Mike, as we get ready to close out this program on the Talking Place, WGH Radio?
Two quick things. It's very interesting how the Beatles all branched out on their own in the 70s. You had Wings by Paul McCartney. George Harrison had his own music, Peace on Earth, I Got My Mind Set on You, Ringo Starr sang the No No song, and John Lennon has his own tunes, Merry Happy Christmas. Also, I can't go through a song from this decade without mentioning the Grease album, especially if Freddie got Bob Knight and We Go Together. I love every song on that album. I never get tired of it. I love the movie as well.
Yeah, if I can talk about this in the 2 minutes we have left, which, you know, is hard for me being rather long-winded. The novelty songs of the 70s, Mike, we could do a whole show on that one. Convoy, one of my favorites. The No No song, great tune, you know, by someone with an amazing array of talents. Talk about a great drummer and singer, Mr. Ringo Starr. Still around. His son, I believe, also Zach Starkey, has followed in his father's footsteps and also become a great talented musician. And, of course, we have The Streak by Ray Stevens. Ray Stevens has been a guest on the Scott Spears Interviewer to the Stars morning radio program. Really quickly, boys, do you like those novelty songs like the ones that I just mentioned?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Convoy's a great tune. It was certainly one that was trendy and is still played, and also one that I've been known to do at karaoke. Have you heard of those novelty songs, Calvin? The Streak, Convoy, No No Song, and a few others?
I've definitely heard of Convoy. It's also in one of my top favorite songs of all time. Especially being a CB radio enjoyer, you could say it could be considered my theme song.
Yeah, I certainly think with you being in the CB radio business, you not having heard of that song or not liking that song would be rather would be a travesty, out of lack of a better term. So on that note, gentlemen, we will close out the program. Thank you, everyone, for listening from near and far. Adam and Calvin, along with Mike Essen, talking about music, mostly stuff from the 70s and 80s. Please visit our website for show archives, information, and other good stuff, wwgh1071.com. Email me at adam@wwgh1071.com. And last but not least, you can even email Calvin at calvin@wwgh1071.com.